Let us pray. Holy Father, it is time for us to meditate on your word. Purify our hearts and minds, Father. Let our hearts and minds be focused only on the words of God. Guide us to understand the meaning of your word. Lord God, we open our ears to hear your word and our hearts to yield to your will. Silence all the voices around us except yours, so we understand what the will of God. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen. It is my pleasure to be here again with you, my beloved brothers and sisters. Worshipping and fellowshipping is a blessing for me. I believe that even though we rarely see each other, we are still one in God. When Pak Dail messaged me, emailed me, said, "Oh, Ibu, sorry this time, Annie will the worship leaders." And I said, "I trust God and Holy Spirit working through us." And the next day, Pak Dail said, "Oh, Annie have to travel to Indonesia, so I will be your worship leader." So I praise God because it is good working with Pak Dail, because the Holy Spirit connect when you ask Holy Spirit to guide you. Through all the things and the songs we sing today, the witness to us, if we depend in God, God will do amazingly in our life. So I thanks God for that. On Friday, I received a video call from Bali. There was a mother who was celebrating her birthday and asked me to pray for her. This mother had visited Darwin last year to see her children and grandchildren. Her daughter-in-law, whom I baptized and guided in prayer and Bible teaching in more than 15 years ago, is now a Sunday school teacher in one of the church and the congregation here in Darwin. And this mother who called me had a partner, and the partner different from us, the Muslim. But that's interesting how Holy Spirit guide us. I said to her, "You have to talk to him. If he continued to want to be with you, one thing you have to say, I'm a Jesus follower. So if you don't want to follow me, that means we finish." So this man, very dedicated, now often coming to church at Darwin Memorial Uniting Church, and he talked to Reverend Vicky, "I want to be baptized on December, but can I please ask Reverend Tracy to baptize me?" That's good. Reverend Vicky or Tracy, if the Holy Spirit guide us, nothing can separate us from the will of God. That's amazing to tell you. Before I pray with her, I read the Psalm 90, verse 12. "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The life granted by God to all believers is not dependent on how long one life. Eternal life is not determined by the numbers of years lived, but by how many good things we have felt and experienced in that life. When my son turned 25, he said to me like this, "Oh, Mom, I'm getting old now, 25. I said, "Don't count the number, but think about it, how good things you put in your life. The number you can count, but the good things to glorify God's name, most important than the number." The numbers of years we live in is good, but what matters is to whom we believe or have faith in that. Year by year, life becomes more challenging. with unstable economics and increasing insecurity in this life, if you're talking about. We feel like insecurities because everything changes. We can see lots of homeless, the financial situation, people lost hope, and you can see fighting between the children. No long time we think about in what happened in Alice Springs, but now in Darwin, people don't care anymore. They can come in and just try to break in and just coming, and they don't care because the living to die is challenging. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most every opportunity, because the days are evil." This is what Paul said. The days are evil. "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Since the fall of man into the sins, we can read in Genesis chapter 3, the equality of human life has been in decline. Over time, humanity is swept along by life, and we continually see how sin grows and develops everywhere. Long time ago, on the outside, but today, in the family life as well. And we see and we wept, because this is what happened in this life today. Therefore, Paul advised us to make the most of opportunity. First, the words for time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 is translated from the Greek words kairos. The English Bible translates it as making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. What is Paul trying to say? Is he being pessimistic and suggesting that the days are not good? Is Paul saying there is no value in time? When Paul says the days are evil, he is referring to our last time on earth. Time is depicted like an arrow shot forward that will never return. Therefore, we must manage time, use it, and fill it with something meaningful. This time, like an arrow shot forward, you can't bring back. What can we do in this life? Many times, if we read the Bible, we make our connections to God. Outside can change, but the words from the Bible God tell us, remind us every way we go. The words of God will guide you. So when you go outside, attracted by something, the words will remind you. Be careful, the days are evil. Only the words of God can guide us. So make something meaningful. Time. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't let evil win your heart. What you're doing every day, I'm learning in my life from long time ago until today. Ben can prove you. 5 o'clock in the morning, I already wake up. I spend my time with God. I talk to God and I read the Bible. Because as soon as you go outside, the evil will attract you. Sometimes you meet someone, they will say, "Hello, how are you?" They don't say, "How God is good for us. Thank you for this beautiful day." But they will put on your ear, "Are you here about this? Are you here about this one?" And make you fall because you let your ear to listening to the conversation. But when you spend time with God, pray, communicate with God, just let God leading you, and you read the Bible, as soon as you go, you just said, "Oh, sorry, I have to go." That means you make sure you're not attacked by the evil. They die are evil. everywhere you go. And sometimes in the night time too, before bedtime, how good the program on television. I said to my family, at 8 o'clock, I'm not calling you, you know what to do. You downstairs or you upstairs, you know what the time. 8 o'clock, the time for us to worship God, to thank you for this day, maybe bad day. We can do things well. We can working well in different locations because my husband, builder, my son, IT person, I'm in contact with patients in need. So we lift up to God. So we correct. We just reflect what we're doing today. And thank you, God, because we can pass this day with different environment in our life because of God. So I said to my husband, I'm not calling you. You know what the time, you know what to do. Sometimes we have to be strong because otherwise we miss out the time to pray to God before the bad time. Second, redemptions in Greek, I have to be careful to say this one, exagorasomenoi, which means to redeem or save. Redeeming in the time is understood and experienced as a means of redemption. Every believer, including me and you, is called to use every opportunity as an offering grounded in love. Just as Christ gave his life, dying on the cross for us. Only once, no more sacrifice. What can we do to thank God in our life? He is dying on the cross for us. For Paul, making the most of the opportunity available is about fulfilling the will of God. He advises starting not with grand gestures, but with simple actions, understanding oneself in the light of God's will. One practical step is to build up our own congregation. Why? Because a Christian congregation should be different from other groups. A Christian congregation should consist of children of light, serving as an example and beacon in everything for the surrounding world. And to achieve this, God grant opportunity and various gift among you, among us. Be very careful and wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precept have good understanding to him. Belongs eternal praise. Psalm 111, verse 10, part of the lectionary talking about that. Another sign of wisdom is an attitude that recognizes the dangers of drunkenness. Not because only people drinking, but people drunk with lots of stuff. One word in Indonesia they call jingol. That means gambling online, or you can borrow money online. That's dangerous in this life. Why people struggle? Because they think easy. When you ask for money, people give you straight away. But the interest coming, that's why it makes you stress. And Paul says, be wise. Drunkenness leads us to loss of vigilance. When people drunk, they don't know what to say. My sister-in-law, when she's drunk, she called me. I know she's drunk when she speaks Indonesian. Hey, Mama, there, what are you doing? But in Indonesia. So I know to be wise. I said, I talk to you tomorrow because I'm busy. Otherwise, bring my attention to what she wants to say. And she will pour out everything, and I don't want to listen about that. So, next day I call, oh, why you not answer me? I said, no, it's okay. Because the Indonesian very fluent when she's drunk. So if you're listening to the conversation, you will say, this one wrong, her husband wrong, her children wrong, grandchildren wrong, everyone wrong. Better to be wise, just hang up. That's what the Bible teach us to just. Paul continued with the sharp compromise. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads you to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How good is Holy Spirit leading us? Every time you want to go something, Holy Spirit, through His way, will tell, don't go this way, go this way. That means sometimes far, but that's good. If you follow you what you want, you will find people there and they just start whispering and you lost what you want to do in this life. What happens when we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit? It is a desire to express us closeness to God, to remain in Christ through prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. When I encounter with patient in hospital, I always said in my prayer, took me 2 years after finish as a moderator of Northern Synod, I said, God, what you want me to do? I'm really confused because dealing with lots of stuff, I said, God, please help me. Come to the stage after I just realized, oh, did I ask that to God? I said, God, I want to be in the present when someone in difficult situation, they want to hear about the love of Christ, the love of Jesus. And someone, the minister from South Australia, asked me, Tracy, I want you to continue this clinical pastoral education. I said, oh, that's too late. No, we still need one more person. So I just said, an eyewitness, people in the midst, they struggle with the illness. Sometimes we're dealing with people end of their life. But you're able to be present, listen to the story, and you pray and tell them how God's unconditional love never let them alone. And you see the expression forever, oh, thank you. Can you please pray for me? This is amazing feeling. How God sending you when you always depend on God. And I witnessed that. How amazing. Lots of people in the midst, they need to hear who Jesus is. And this is God sending us to spread the good news to them. In the Gospel of John, this is the metaphorically expressed with the words, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. That atmosphere of misunderstanding regarding Jesus' words is depicted by the author of the Gospel of John as follows. The Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So what did Jesus mean by eating my flesh and drinking my blood? This John chapter 6, the background that's talking about the Israel people when they're in the wilderness working 40 years, supposed to maybe 11 days. But why God bring them around and around and around? Because God wants to make sure the attitude changing because they're living in Egypt, everything they can have. The gold, eating bread, honey, milk, make them like a children. Everything they want, God provide for them. But why they just around for 40 years and they eat manna when they ask, oh, we need the bread. And you see the leaders just cry out to God and God send manna. You only keep for one day. Tomorrow if you keep and you're hiding, tomorrow you will find already milk. And the little maggot already there and smell stinking. But the body of Christ, when Jesus hanging in the cross, died for us, never mold or never have the maggot and stinking, but stay forever in our life. That's why God saw his love, sent his only son to die for us. When we examine Jesus' words carefully, we should understand that he is using metaphorically language referring to himself as food, specifically as a bread and flesh. This metaphor is to use describe a real presence that can be encountered and enjoyed daily, which is essential for life. Like I said, if you pray to God, you eat what God wants you to do. But if you let yourself to listening to something, you will fall. Therefore, when Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. It is an invitation for people to believe in him, to make Jesus a part of their life, living a quality of life in God and to make the gospel of Jesus our living testimony. The gospel of Jesus, that means the Bible, the words in the Bible, our living testimony. So let us make the most of this opportunity that God has given us to make our congregation, living water congregation, congregation a distinct fellowship, and a fellowship that makes a difference. You just witnessed yesterday, you're doing the market. You want to be fellowship with the community, but you are different because every Sunday you're coming here to pray. So God can connect you with the community. You can't preaching, you can't tell, but during you encounter with people, they can see God in you because you living in the testimony of Jesus. When you fall, sometimes you fall as a human, you may find it difficult to give thanks, but take heart in all things. God's work are good if we love him and are called according to his purpose. Thanks God not for your problems, but for the strength he is building in you through the difficult experience of your life. You can be assured that God's perfect love will guide you through. If God remains in front, we will be of high quality and our life will become a blessing to many people. If God is our priority, we will have a different spirit, seeing everything differently and remaining enthusiastic because we are not doing it alone, but together with God. Make God the priority of your life and your life will be quality in God. Amen.